Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And I pray the Lord helps us in the Word of God tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I'm thankful that we're able to study this passage of Scripture together. It's been a tremendous help to me, and I hope I have an encouraging message for you tonight from the Word of God. That's my intention. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us now as we open your word. Give us power. Bring to our mind that which we've studied, that we might be a help to the people of God. If there be one amongst us that doesn't know you, I pray they'd be saved. One that might be discouraged, I pray somehow the word of God would raise them up. Oh, by your power, Lord, raise them up. And Lord, that one, Lord, that just needs direction somewhere in their life, may this be the message that they need to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the scene is set here in 1 Samuel 17, where David is fixing to face Goliath. We started with this way back, right, in Sunday school, right? Flannel graph, whatever, you know, your teacher. I don't know if this is the most popular Bible story. And by the way, I don't like even saying story. Because they're not stories, are they? They're events, they're accounts. This happened. You know, like David got those stones, slung them, and the only spot that was open on Goliath, which was right here, it sung his head, and he was dead. Amen? It happened just like that. And you know, but it's not a story. It happened. And so I don't really like to use the word story, but to get my point across, this might be one of the most popular stories. Just like John 3:16 is probably the most popular verse. Actually, it is. And the most searched Bible verse is John 3:16. This might be the most popular story. And one reason that it is so popular is because David is seen as that unsung hero. And you know, you say, that's cool because we always like movies about unsung heroes. But let me tell you something about our God. That's who he works through. God has a bunch of unsung heroes. He doesn't use the guy that everybody else would use. That's why I picked David. And we went over that over and over again. Saul was supposed to be the hero. How'd that work out? Right, exactly. David is the unsung hero. And don't ever, I know I'm repeating myself from last week a little bit. I feel it already. But don't get the idea God can't use you. The very reason why you think God can't use you is the reason God wants to use you, because there's no way she could do that. There's no way he could do that. I mean, look at him. Look at her. He's got all that against him. Well, then people have to say what? It's not them. It must be God. See there? And that's the story of Scripture. Now, the Philistines, verse 1, gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekah in Apasdammon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And the one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly, greatly afraid. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. I think the enemy likes to put things in our life to get us right there in verse number 11, dismayed and greatly afraid. He likes to get us down there in verse 24 where it says, and sore afraid. I want you to remember something about this chapter. I want you to remember that David said by faith, this is what David said by faith. David said by faith, look how much smaller Goliath is than my God. Everybody else said, look how much bigger Goliath is than us. See, when we look through the eyes of ourselves, everything is big. But when we look through the eyes of God, everything is small. David was the only one that said, boy, that Goliath looks pretty small beside my God. Hey, glory to God. Great stuff. Boy, I like it right there. I don't know if y'all, but I've got some things that can mount on me. I've got some things that will get large on me. And if I don't look at it by faith and look through my great God, they seem like they're nine feet tall. Like that's almost that speaker right there is how tall Goliath was. But if you look through God, your Goliaths will get small. David said by faith, look how much smaller Goliath is than to my God. The human perspective said, look how much bigger Goliath is than we are. Let me remind you, we are always the majority with God. We are always the majority with God. But with ourselves, we are always the minority. You want your life in your own hands? You're the minority. You got it. God says, go ahead, live your life on your own. You live it with me. We're always a majority. Little as much when God is in it. As we're going against our giants, and we're going to have giants that are against us, we must go against them in the name of the Lord. But are we battling our giants, those things, those oppositions? And by the way, Goliath was satanic. He was of the devil. He's defying the armies of Israel. David recognized that this was more than just a regular battle, but it was opposition against the evil one. And by the way, that's who Goliath represents. You count what he says about his armor and everything. By the way, it equals up to 666. That's the imagery behind it. Let me tell you, the devil ain't nobody to play with. And you can't face him on your own. You can't face the devil's arrows. You can't face the devil's temptations. You're no match for him. You aren't, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's a giant. The things he sends our way are bigger than us, but we must face those in the name of the Lord. David thought, why doesn't somebody put that guy to sleep? Put him to sleep. I mean, he was, I just like it. He was cocky. He was arrogant. He told this rascal, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, verse 46. He said, you coming to me with a spear? I'm coming to you with something better than a spear. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I like a guy that's cocky. I like a guy that's arrogant in Jesus. We need some of it. We need somebody that'll rise up above the giants, above the Goliath, and say, hey, bless the Lord. Hey, I'm with Jesus, and we're winning, friend. We're conquering. We're triumphing. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we've got enough people hiding underneath pews and chairs. We need somebody to be like a David and say, you cowards, is there not a cause? But why could David do that? David looked through God. He wasn't trusting himself. You know how we beat ourselves up? You know why we get down? because we're dependent upon ourselves to win the battle. You'll wear yourself out to a frizzle frazzle when you put it all on you. Don't take it personal, because it's not personal. It's God's. It's God's. David thought, why didn't somebody do something about this? There's a cause. David was saying to himself, hey, God did it for me in the past. He'll do it for me again. He helped me in the field. Slew the lion and the bear. He'll do it with this same uncircumcised Philistine. See, you got to have the right perspective when those giants come against you. And the bigger God gets in our lives, the smaller everything else is going to get in our lives. The more He increases, the more everything else decreases, including ourselves. Everything gets smaller when God gets bigger. All of our worries get smaller when God gets bigger. Every mountain starts to melt away when God gets bigger. Every Goliath turns into a midget when God gets bigger. You say, you can make God bigger? No. God don't get no bigger. But I think everybody with any sense knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you see Him for who He is from the Word of God, everything gets smaller. David, armed with the power of Almighty God and a little sling and five stones, said, I'm going in the name of the Lord. And guess what? He had the victory, killed Goliath, and cut his head off with his own sword. I want you to notice something in verses 1 through 3. We read it, the gathering of the people, the scene set. They're right there. Goliath's at the brink. The Philistines are there. And by the way, the Philistines are gathered together in Shokah, which belongeth to Judah. Shokah ain't even supposed to be where the Philistines are at. So Goliath's not even supposed to be that close to start with. There's just a little nugget here I want to say. The reason sometimes we even get to the place where we've got to face a giant so big of Goliath is because we've let the devil gain territory that didn't even belong to him to start with, but because we backed up and recanted in fear, he got close enough to us, so the big monster Goliath is right next to us. The little foxes spoil the vine. The smallest of little things that you're giving over to the devil that you think are insignificant are causing a big problem in your life. I say this to you as your pastor in love. I'm a young man, but I've been sitting in a pastor's home all my life, and I've seen little compromises. And by the way, compromise ain't in the word. Little disobediences cause people to be completely out for the Lord. I've seen their spirit spoil. You ever seen a spirit spoil?
No.
Bless them. I've seen a spirit spoil and little disobediences, and man, I'm telling you what, they're gone. They're gone. Little foxes spoil the vine. It should have never even got to the place where Goliath could even get to that spot. But because they gave over the territory already that belonged to Judah, he was right there at the door. Never should have even been an option. See, the devil used fear. They're recanting. God's people are charging people. The righteous are what in Proverbs? The righteous are bold as a lion. When you're right with God, you're the lion. You're the one out in the front. God's people are leaders. God's people in the front. God's people aren't sissies. God's people are the strongest people in this country. They're the best people in this country. If you're saved by God's grace and filled with the Spirit, stand up strong for God and live for Jesus Christ and for the Word of God and for the gospel and for souls to be saved and for good values, Christian living. Say amen. That's God's people. But because Christians are tucktailing and running and not being strong in the Lord, we've given over the ground to the devil. And guess what we've got in our country? We've got Goliath right at the door, hollering and screaming. Should have never got to that point. And it could happen that way in a country. It could happen that way in your home too. Now that's the gathering. We're just going to talk about the giant tonight. The giant's pretty big, so we might not even get done with them. Okay, he's a big guy. So we've got a lot to say about him. Why do I want to talk about the giant so much tonight? I want to talk about the giant Goliath a lot to tell you and to tell me that nothing's too great for God to beat. I want you to know that Goliath was so big, so strong, so mighty, not to give credit or attention to Goliath himself, but to give glory and credit to God, that nothing in your life you face is too big for God. That's what I want to point across. I don't want to give glory to darkness. I want to give glory to Jesus Christ, the light, that he has power over the darkness. I don't want to give credit to the devil. I just want to talk about the giant, how great he was, and that God got the victory. Everything that Goliath was about fear and intimidation. The whole tactic was to enslave the people in fear. And that's what he did there. They were dismayed. I want to preach a message on dismantling dismay. You can get dismayed and just bent out of shape. How do you dismantle it? We have things that are big in our lives. Giant-sized problems. Things that threaten us. Problems, issues. Health, financial, family, whatever it is. But whatever it is, the giant in your life represents. See, he was the champion, and we're going to talk about this. He was the champion, meaning by that, if you're going to get to where you need to go, you got to come through me, buddy. If you're going to get to where you need to go, you got to go through the giant. It's something that stands between you and where you need to be. It's big. It's huge. You can't go over them, can't go around them, can't go through them. Giant's big. You ever had something like that in your life? You might say, had something in my life, got something in my life right now. It's big. It's huge. It's right in front of me. Man, it seems like it's insurpassable. I can't defeat it. That's the champion. That's the one that's in front of you. And we all have ugly, cruel giants in our life. I've got a few of them right now. It's like when I go to sleep at night and when I'm quiet during the day, boom, boom, boom. Say, boy, we got some loony preacher up there. You know what I'm talking about? It pops up here all the time. And it's always, you're always remembering it. You're always feeding on it. The devil don't let you forget it. And you have to give it to God by faith. It bugs you. It irritates you. I don't know. It's a giant. To everybody else? No, nothing. They don't even know about it probably. But you do. It's a giant. Could be a sin. Could be a temptation. Could be something in the past. I don't know what it is. It might not be anything about a sin, but it definitely's there. It's 9 feet, 9 inches tall, and it's shining. That brass is shining, and it's got another boy in front of him with a shield. I mean, it's huge. You can't miss him. Every day you're thinking about it. It's a giant. We all have them. Thanks, though, be to God, which causeth the triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. God has a plan for us to live in victory. The Holy Spirit's telling you what your giant is. But I'm telling you tonight, your God is bigger than your giant. And your God is bigger than your problem. And your God has already won the victory. You've just got to claim the victory. Who's bigger, your giant or your God? Which one? And God's bigger. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I believe the Lord wants us to look at the greatness of this giant. Let's do it. Verse number 4. The measure of him. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 to 10 feet, I think, to be exact. If you use the usual reckoning of cubits, it's 9 feet and 9 inches. Brother Ward's pretty tall. He stood up here. And I thought of him when I walked in here today, thought how tall he was. Brother Ward's probably about 6'6". And I'm telling you what, I think that giant, wouldn't you think, you agree with me, that giant would be about right up that speaker, don't you think? That'd be about right, don't you think? That's about 10 feet, I bet you. I don't even want to see, I know how high I can jump. I can't quite touch the rim, but I can get on the net. Who wants to see me jump? I'm not going to do that. But that's about how tall he was. The measure of 9 feet, 9 inches, about to that. His head was touching the basketball net. How about that? Not quite the rim. That's how tall he was. I think the point needs to be said right here. What God told us in chapter 16, look not on man's outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You say, well, that's a verse for another time. Oh, yeah, I know it is, but it's still good for any time. Don't look at your giants through your own eyes. Look at them through God's eyes. And that 9 foot, 9 inch giant in your life that seems so big, through God, next to God, next to God Almighty, thrice holy God, Almighty God, first and last, Alpha and Omega, the one that flung the stars into space. Hey, the one that holds it all together. That giant's mighty, mighty, mighty small. I don't know about y'all, but I know basketball. I don't know what y'all know, but I know basketball. And I remember Manute Bol. Who knew who Manute Bol was? Who knew Dikembe Mutombo? Who knew him? Mutombo, big guy, 7'4", and Manute Bol was 7'7". And then you had the little guy. Who was the little guy? Tell me. Muggsy Bogues and Spud Webb. Man, next to them, Muggsy was probably like 5'6", 5'5". I don't know. I can't remember. Something like that. What was he? 5'4". That's even better. He was 5'4", and Manute Bol was 7'7". Let me tell you something. That pales in comparison to the size of our God to your giant. It's nothing. God is greater. I said, but man, that always comes up to my mind. It's always there. He's huge. He's big. Ain't nothing for God. He's already defeated in God. The measure. The might. Verse 4, champion. Champion has the definition and the idea behind it that everybody has to come through him to win or succeed. In the 90s, you had to come through Jordan to get the title. Say amen right there, yeah. They don't have to go through LeBron to get the title today. He'll lose it himself, right? There you go, Brother Curtis. But that's what it means. When you're the champion, you got to go through that team. And when you do it multiple times, everybody knows you got to get through that number one team to get the title, right? That's what it means to be champion. When you got a legacy, you got to get through Tom Brady to get the title. Okay? He's saying, I'm the champion. When it means champion, there went out a champion, the one that won them all. Nobody could conquer them. And that thing right now in your life feels like a champion. And honestly, there are things in our lives that will become champions. And they will take you captive. And they will bind you and hold you and keep you. And God is the one that can break those things in our lives. Champion. See, God desires His children to be free. The truth will set you free. We're going to get down to the how later. His might, look at His manner, verse 10. Look how arrogant He was. Arrogant He was. Arrogant He was, excuse me. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He was arrogant. Rebellious is what he was towards God. He was defiant. He has a threatening proposal here in verse 8. Choose you a man and let him come down to me. What he was doing was causing fear into the people of God. We have these words here that are before us to let us understand that the devil's tactic is fear and intimidation. You know, Saul, when I think about Saul and I think about Goliath and I think about David, I want to talk about something. It said, choose you a man. Isn't that what the Bible says? Choose you a man. Go back on rewind a little bit with me. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, Joshua, you pushed the rewind button a little bit too long. They said, we want to choose ourselves a king. Well, they got what they wanted in Saul. And Saul should have been the man, if anybody was able to be the man in the flesh to beat Goliath, he would have been the one. But when you don't have the power of the Lord, you're as weak as water poured in the ground. But in the name of the Lord, you can be stronger than Goliath. Isn't that something? If anybody should have been standing up to beat Goliath or even just try, it was Saul. Hey, they the ones that chose him, and he's nowhere to be found. And David, just a nobody. See, God uses unsung heroes. In the power of the Lord, defeats the man, as we see the story go on. See, Saul was already said to be head and shoulders above everybody. Isn't that something? He should have been the one. Let me tell you something. Don't look on people's outward appearance. Just don't do it. Don't get that way. Just see God's potential in people. Say amen. Help me preach this. Will you do that? See God's potential in people. See, that's a soul for which Christ died. That's a soul for which Christ wants to save. And if that soul has been saved, they're part of the family. And they've got as much God as you've got God. They've got enough Bible as you've got Bible. They've got enough potential as you've got potential. If they'll just give their life to God, they turn the world upside down. That's everybody. Well, they look a little funny and they smell a little funny. Yeah, my kids do sometimes too. And I grew up in Arkansas. And I can't pronounce words. See what I'm talking about? Don't look on the outward appearance. Let's not be a church that way, please, right? We all agree, right? That's not pleasing to God. People come in here, we don't. Oh, you sit down here and you sit back there and you sit over yonder. No, they're all precious in His sight. Every last one of them. Don't look on the outward appearance. I don't want to be that way. I don't. Samuel said there's no one like Saul. Well, it was very apparent that nobody was going to stand up. But just little old David. There's only one candidate in Israel that had a chance to even go against him, and that was Saul, and nowhere to be found. Let that sink in. But the man God chooses is so, so different. Let's talk about his mettle. His mettle? Yeah, we skipped some verses here. I want to go back to his mettle. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulder. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. How about all that metal, right? That's lots of metal. Mainly what? Bronze. Bronze is judgment. He said, I'm going to bring judgment to you. I'm coming in fierceness. That's what bronze always represents. His spearhead was made of iron. Everything else was bronze. The detailed description that's given is clearly to show how giant he was and like there was no way anybody could defeat him. His upper body was covered with metal weighing 126 pounds. Now, I have no idea how much David weighed, but I'd be surprised if he was anything more than that, right? I just don't see it. I don't know. But his metal might have weighed more than what David weighed. His legs were protected by bronze armor. He stood like a one-man indestructible fortress. In other words, the man's defense mechanisms that they had given him made him to appear like he was... There's no way he could be defeated. I don't know if I can do this or not, and I don't want to be too silly. But I've got to imagine all this on him. He's kind of walking like this. All the weight. I mean, I don't think he's like strutting or running. He's got all that on him. And they probably hear him. And they see him shining in the sunlight. More than that, he's got a spearhead that weighs 15 pounds. And more than that, did it ever occur to you that David, we don't think about this, but David had two people he was going against. The armor boy in front, holding the shield. The other man was probably bigger than David as well. If he had to carry the shield that was in front of David, I'm thinking he's probably bigger than David. The other man was in front, holding this shield that was probably large and rectangular. It's probably a standing shield that you kind of set like this, providing complete protection from this huge Philistine already. Try to form an impression in your mind right now of this colossal giant and all the armor that he'd ever need made it seem like he was indestructible. there's no way he can be defeated. Seems like they put every insurance in place that Goliath was impossible to defeat, right? There's no way anybody can take him down. But we know the end of the story, don't we? And through God, David won the war. Notice not only his mettle, but his mocking. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, verse 8, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. He's just mocking them. That's all he's doing. To defy the armies, in verse number 10, the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man. He's mocking them. Notice his motive. He's not only mocking, but his motive. To defy, to scorn and to mock in verse 10. Verse 16 tells us he did it for 40 days. What's 40 days represent? 40 days is the number of testing. 40 days, just over and over and over and over and over. Moses was in the wilderness 40 years. Israel wandered 40 years. Christ fasted for 40 days. 40 is the number of testing, number of temptation and trial. And here Goliath pictures the devil who never gives in. He never lets up. Day by day, day by day, he comes to the people of God. Goliath is a giant. He's gaudy. He's great. He's injurious. He's intimidating. He seems impossible to defeat. Just on and on and on. And now we get to the conclusion of all things and we think, now what? What does the preacher have to say? Well, we don't hear the whole story tonight, but we do know the whole story, don't we? David was victorious. Let me tell you, friend, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and victory overcometh the world, even our faith. That's it. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 2 and verse 13, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. David won the war by faith in his God because he did not take it in his own strength. He took it in God's strength, and he was able to see God through it all and not Goliath. Two action points. So I've got Goliath in my life, and things are big. How do you defeat temptation? How do you defeat Goliath? By the word of the Lord. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is our offensive weapon, is it not? This is how you win right here. The word of God. That's it. How'd Jesus win? He quoted the word of God three times and the devil left him. By the way, I'd like to go back to 1 Samuel 2, but won't. By the way, David was fulfilling a prophecy that Hannah prophesied in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Let me tell you, the word of God always wins. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The word of God always wins, and when you go with the word of God, you will always win as well. So, number one, my giant seems big. And be honest with me, preacher, I'm not seeing even God bigger than my giant. I've been there before. You know where you're at? You're delinquent. I didn't want to call you dumb, so I said delinquent. You're delinquent of the Word of God. To know God is to know the truth. To know God is to know this book. Your first action point, if you've got a giant in your life, you better know God by experiencing everyday revelation. You better know God by experiencing everyday revelation. Did you read the Bible today? Did you pick it up and read it for yourself and get it in? Well, if you've done that for a days and you didn't do that, those giants are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and those worries are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and greater and greater and greater, and you are going to be mounted up with Goliaths all around you, and you have not looked through the lens of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, and you will be defeated. First, you got to just read it. Just open and read it. And then, once you know Him, that He is greater, you can believe it. You can't believe what you don't know. You can't stand upon what you don't know. Now, I've got all kinds of different people in this room. And every church has all kinds of different people. But you've got enough Word of God today to fight your giant tomorrow. You claim. Hey, preacher said 1 John 4:4. He said, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. That's all you need. You claim that and you stand on that and you take the devil on with 1 John 4:4. Amen? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you take on that Goliath with that sharp sword of 1 John 4:4. And you can take any old scripture you want. You understand me? This word is stronger than anything that we'll face. Don't recant. You take it. But first of all, you've got to get in here. You know, the more you know about the Bible, the more confidence you've got to stand on upon what you've read in the Bible. You know, this encourages me. I can say to myself, if God did it for David, David can do it for me. If God did it for Daniel, and I know that about Daniel, God can do it for Daniel, God can do it for me. If God can do it for Joseph, God can do it for, doesn't that right? And that, I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say with this right here. Our action point to get to the place where our giants get smaller and God gets bigger is we got to get our nose in this book right here and we got to read it for ourselves. And when then we read it for ourselves, we can see and know God out of this book and then believe what we read for the days and hours that we live in as we face the giants that come upon us. And our one giant that will never leave us and never forsake us is that rotten, nasty devil. Who's been saved long enough to say, boy, the devil, he just never leaves you alone. Say amen. That Goliath for 40 days, just always, always, always. And he'll holler at you, scream at you. And let me tell you, but God is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he is the world. How do we conquer that? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is milk. This is meat. This is your strength. This is your bread. We get this right here to take on our Goliaths. I just think it's pretty awesome that David said, by faith, when nobody else could say it, he said, look how much smaller Goliath is than God. Would to God, Bemis Road Baptist Church, we said that. You know the government's against this church. You know the government's against this church. Against this one. Against every church like this one right here. They'd snuff us out if they could. Big deal. That government looks about that big inside of our God. Amen? Yeah, and I can't go on and on. But you just, whatever you've got, just say to yourself, my God, next to that giant in my life, no match for my God. I'm excited about that. So I'm excited about it. I want to be like little David. He got up that morning and ran with that sling, ready to take on Goliath. We can be that way. When we're confident in our God, we can even be a little cocky and arrogant in our God because we know He is greater. Let's everybody come to the altar at this time. We'll pray together. And this is what we do on Wednesday night. Everybody come to the altar, or the front row at least. And those that can bow, come all the way to the front here and bow at this altar here. If you're able to come to the altar, come to the altar. We'll bow and pray tonight. Thank you all so much.